The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout.
Kind of feel like he's making me excited. The only time I don't like a call like that is when it's against my team. That's the only time I love hearing it. I love hearing these announcers get into it. That's courtesy of Mets Radio. Oh, are you pulling for the Brewers or against the Mets? Or
yeah.
Oh, you like the Brewers?
No.
Against the Mets?
Yeah.
And how did Ed, how did you feel watching that last night?
I told you he was circling his nipples.
Was he? Like this?
Uh-huh.
Pretty Both happy, hands? Actually. I told my friend
Ladies.
Joe.
Ladies.
My friend Joe in New York. Mm-hmm. Real sick. I mean, I was talking last night. Just check on him. I sent him a picture.
Hey, Joey, I'm wearing my Mets gear. Look at him. He had it on. But look, that was a really...
I have my Mets shirt on.
I've been saying this. I don't know what it is about the Mets. Yeah, maybe they lose the next series, but I really do like watching this team play.
Look at the Phillies.
Yeah. And it's a rivalry. They hate each other, right? Phillies and Mets. So it should be fun.
Oh.
Well, this is the cool thing about the National League. You've got
Joe's telling me it's the first time they've ever met in the postseason.
Really?
Because they're so close geographically. It's only an hour and a half from New York.
Do you know the Mets have never had an MVP?
Really?
Never.
Wow. Bunch of Cy Young winners, though.
Yeah, some of those. But going back to yesterday, we talked about
it. World Series MVP.
That's fine.
Ray Knight.
That's fine. They can have one of those.
69. Who was 69?
Receiver?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I don't remember.
69 Mets. You would have been what? 69. Oh, okay. Very nice. All right. So let's get into what happened last night. Today's slate. We talked about Tampa Bay last night and how we liked Atlanta to handle business on the short week. I'm a little bit surprised at how close it was. I mean, look, it was a 2.5 point spread. But what a game! If you sat down and watched either that Mets and Brewers game or you were watching this NFL game. Depending on what your rooting interest is, you were probably pretty happy. They were both phenomenal games to have last night and a reason to stay up late or later than maybe you would normally do that. Now, the college football game hit that as well. It's kind of interesting to just look at all the different things that we have and the possibilities of matchups and things coming up next. I mentioned the NHL starts today, and it's one of those weird things where did we find out where they're playing? My assumption is they got to be playing in another country today because it's a double header.
Not in Buffalo, Jersey.
Yeah, because there's one game in one of them's the home team one day, and then the other one's the home team the next day, and it's before all the preseason games, which would lead me to
that's
believe.
What baseball did.
Yeah, with San Diego and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
In Korea.
Yeah, and they did
Munich.
It before. They did it before the other team finished playing there.
Yeah, preseason.
In fact, those two teams went back and played some preseason.
Yeah, they did. There's more preseason after this.
So they act like it's weird.
They're in Prague?
It's in Prague. Yeah, Munich was last week.
Yeah, it's the global series.
Yeah. It's global. It's hockey. There's lots of consonants in the last names, guys. But yeah, I think it's kind of cool to see this. It is weird, though, because it was preseason being after, but as Rob pointed out, and he's right, shut up, Rob, that does happen from time to time. All right, let me get into today's slate, and I'll talk a little bit about this weekend and what I like in the NFL. As far as today, we have WNBA. I like New York and Las Vegas to go under the 166.5. By the way, we hit both WNBA games the other night with the Liberty did not cover against Vegas and Minnesota handled business at home. My favorite play tonight is Minnesota going on the road to the Connecticut Sun and knocking them off. They're a 1.5 point dog. I think they win outright. It's 1.5, but I'd still take the plus 1.5 in case.
Okay.
The other team wins by one. So it's always, to me, there's still value there in taking the points. But I do think Minnesota wins outright. In the NHL, I'm going to take the over, New Jersey, Buffalo. I will say this. This is not a game I would have bet on a normal NHL slate. Because it's a standalone game, we're degenerates. We take shots. we use our hypothesis to think of where we could go with this. And then we place our bet and see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean...
6.5 is the routine number in the NHL. To me, New Jersey was a really fast young team. Where they could score, but last year they played defense a little bit better than
they sucked last year.
Well, in the beginning they were coming out. We thought they were going to be good in the beginning,
right? Yes, we did. Yes, yeah. But, they ended up being about 500, but they were just like so disappointing. I mean, above the Sabres, you kind of expect to be disappointing. They almost had the same record. They're close, 38 wins for one, 39 for the other.
I think we got a shootout tonight.
We might.
So, all right, in college football. I do like Syracuse going on the road to get points from UNLV, and I think Oregon and Michigan State goes under the 52.5. If you go back and look at the way Oregon's played, their defense has been really, really good, routinely giving up 14, 10, 17 points, except for the Boise State game where Ashton Jonte just went off. The Jonte dagger over there. I want the knife, please. Sorry, there's a little golden child for you. But this kid, Ashton, like, he has been amazing. He had one game where he didn't score a touchdown, and I think he scored 12 in the other three already this year. So I don't fault Oregon for giving up a bunch of points to the Boise State because they're a good team. I do think that they kind of handle Michigan State. It's too big of a number for me to want to lay the side. But I will take the under here at 52.5. Now, for this weekend, I'll just throw out a couple of these. I do like Ohio State. My favorite college play is probably going to be A&M against Missouri. I love Washington against Michigan. People are now high on Michigan again. Washington's a good team. And as we talked about earlier, UCLA's got to come all the way to the East Coast to play a noon game, which would be 9 o'clock their time. I've seen this before. I seen it. I'm going to take Penn State minus all those points, 27.5. This weekend as it stands. And for the NFL, some interesting things this weekend to look at. We've already talked about a couple of the games that we like, so let me just throw a few at you real quick that stood out to me. I do think we're going to get points in the Colts game. One of the interesting things there, it does sound like Jonathan Taylor is going to miss some time, so pay attention to that. We talked about some of the other games. I think Cleveland covers against Washington. I like the Jets to knock off Minnesota in the London game. I think they went outright. By the way, Green Bay is favored, not the Rams. We were talking about that earlier. I like the Rams plus 3 at home. I think Houston's interesting. I think San Francisco's interesting. And I like Pittsburgh to knock off Dallas. Those are some of my favorite plays just looking at the NFL slate I wanted to get out to you. So there you go.
There you go, Jeremy Carr. 410-583-1057 is the number. Rick Ritter at 930. But on the other side, our lady on the scene, Melissa Kim.
Okay.
Joins us right now on the Fan. Okay. 9:17 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, and the lady on the scene with us right now, Melissa Kim. Good morning to you, Melissa.
Good morning. Wow, no comments about the song this morning.
We did that last week, and Jeremy just took the show sideways with the comments he had about boots or something.
Hold on. It's the only other boots. Shania Twain song I could remember, but it was vastly...
What was the name of it?
Whose bed have your boots been under?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, we're not doing that one. We're not doing that.
Okay.
We might have to go back to Beyonce, okay? We have some options. Maybe I'll switch it up on you guys mid-season.
We'll surfboard.
Keep you on your toes.
All right.
Keep you on your toes.
Now, the Ravens take on the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. The Bengals are 1-3 on the year. Ravens are just 2-2. People are saying this is a must-win game for the Bengals, and I get it. I get it, Melissa. But the Ravens don't want to go 2-3, especially if Pittsburgh can beat Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I think, look, I might have been one of those people that have kind of already looked to the week after the Bengals game, which I know we're not supposed to do. But, I mean, it's hard to see this Bengals defense really materializing. You know what I mean? They haven't had a good season at all thus far. And I think that especially with how the Ravens offense has been rolling pretty much in all facets, it's going to be tough to stop Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, obviously.
Well, that was my question for you. How do you see this going? I mean, the Bengals get up 145 yards rushing per game. The Ravens, you know what they can do on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this game close because I think the Ravens are going to have the ball 35 minutes or more.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that things have materialized quite well for the Ravens in the last 2 weeks. I talked to Charlie Kohler about that in the locker room yesterday because, you know, he's gotten a little bit more involved this year in the offensive game plan. And he's like so smart. He has such a good perspective of what's happening in the big picture, right? And he told me, like, look, you know, it's taken a couple weeks for things to materialize because of the fact that a lot of the starters don't play in preseason. But I think that after you see a couple of weeks of the O-line playing together and you see Derrick Henry getting comfortable with the game plan from Todd Monken, you see what exactly can happen. I mean, 151 yards, two touchdowns, 199 yards, two touchdowns for two straight weeks. I think that that is pretty tough to stop. And you just look, I mean, just look at Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? He's not being stopped by like one or two guys on defense. He's taking guys down. You know, it's like vintage King Henry from the Titans that we remember watching. I think that that has been pretty cool to see between him and Lamar.
Now, as you start to look at some of this other stuff, Melissa, with the two teams going at it here in the division, we've talked about, you know, Pittsburgh's got a tough game. I think everybody's written off Cleveland. If you lose this game, you have the same exact record as Cincinnati. I've been talking about, like, everything on paper says that the Ravens should dominate this game, but it's still a 2.5-point spread, and it's still a divisional game, which I don't think any outcome would actually surprise me. What about you?
I mean, I think I do expect the Ravens to win this game, all being all serious. But, like, you know, Joe Burrow is the only factor that I would kind of take into as, like, maybe watch out for him. Because, like, Burrow's a great quarterback, I think. And the guys that he's throwing to, Ja'Marr Chase, obviously T. Higgins. I mean, I'm curious to see how the matchups are going to end up because Ja'Marr Chase has had some pretty good success against the Ravens in the past. And so I am, if there's any facet, I think that the Bengals will be successful. Obviously, I think that that is where they would be when throwing the ball.
Here with Melissa Kim joining us, talking a little Ravens. Melissa, Ravens have been running all over their last two opponents. We expect them to run the football a lot on Sunday as well. However, I believe Cincinnati will sell out, forcing the Ravens to throw the ball a little bit. Could this be a breakout game for Mark Andrews?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that because literally every like show that I've been on in the last 2 weeks has been like, oh, is Mark Andrews washed? Is Mark Andrews cooked? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, everybody just like calm down. It's been like 4 weeks, right? And again, in talking to Charlie Kohler yesterday, he kind of said the same thing. He said his buddies actually were kind of giving him some crap and sending him tweets of people like saying like, get Charlie off the field, put Mark Andrews in. And he's like, oh, whatever. But, you know, he said Mark Andrews is still Mark Andrews. It's not Mark Andrews was like, you know, an incredible player. Mark Andrews still is an incredible player. And, you know, he's been doing a lot of really great things blocking. I think the numbers show that. And he said because they've been running the ball so well, everybody's targets on the team are down. It's not just Mark. And so he's like, I think Mark Andrews is still going to be a Pro Bowl level player this season, you know, and you just got to give a couple weeks to materialize. I mean, especially if they're going to be in a situation this week where they're being forced to throw the ball and run the ball less. So, no, Mark Andrews is not washed. Mark Andrews is not cooked. And the people that have been like putting him on their fantasy team and the parlays and all that, breathe. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be all right. While we're talking about tight ends, what about Isaiah Likely? He's been targeted a lot. He's done great as a receiver, but he's also, I think, really excelled as a blocker.
Yeah, I mean, these tight ends have been blocking their tails off. Yeah. You know, Likely, Andrews, Kohler, who said told me yesterday, he's like, you know, blocking is a new adventure for me because he's like, it's not something that I did a whole lot in college. So, yeah, I mean, they've been blocking their butts up. I mean, Pat Ricard, you know, I asked Todd Monken about him yesterday about how unique of a player he is. And he's like, I mean, he's going to be our left guard at one point, right? I think, you know, he was in the running for that. So the fact that they have these big guys that have those abilities to block, I mean, really only makes life easier for the run game, which we've obviously seen. And it makes them versatile, too. There's so many guys on the offense right now that are really showing off their versatility because, again, they've been sticking to what this franchise is known for, which is the power run.
Melissa, I know we're going to ask you for your score, but like before we get to that, do you buy into the Davante Adams stuff? People have talked about him coming to the Ravens. I've heard the Steelers are a front runner. Anything, like, I don't know why. Look, he's a fit anywhere he goes because he's Davante Adams. But I don't know why this team trades for him in specific.
Look, I covered this man back in the day when he was on the Packers and Aaron Rodgers was on the Packers. My guess is that he would go be with his BFF, Aaron Rodgers, again. Yeah. And the guy that he already has, you know, historic connection with, some guy that he already is used to playing with. They have that chemistry already. That's without a doubt. If he were to go anywhere, my pick would be for him to go to the Jets. And unfortunately, that is in the AFC, so hopefully, you know, that doesn't bite anybody on the Ravens in the butt later on. But, yeah, that would be my guess. I don't really see the Ravens trading for him or anything else at this point. Coach Harbaugh obviously is going to say, you know, like they love the guts they have, which he has said this week. But yeah, I don't really see him going to anywhere but the Jets. That's just my personal opinion.
Thank you very much, Melissa. Give us your score.
Oh, let's see. I think it's going to be at least, they're going to win by like at least like two touchdowns, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think probably 35-21 is going to be my final score. I think that, I mean, Joe Burrow is going to make sure that they get on the board for sure, but I think that there's no stopping this offense right now.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Melissa. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
See you too, Melissa.
Joe LaCroix, Encore 945. Rick Ritter at 930. But, Jeremy, you got something going on over there.
We're giving away Thomas Rhett tickets, 410-583-1057. He's playing Jiffy Lube Live next year. So if you want to win yourself a purr of tickets, we've got two purrs to give away. Call in now. Again, 410-583-1057 right here on The Fan.
931 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. And joining us right now from WJZ-TV, our good friend Rick Ritter. What's going on, Rick?
My guy, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you too, my man. Last week, the Baltimore Ravens had 271 yards rushing. When you talk about game planning and not agenda, I got to think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to do everything they can outside of putting 12 men on the field to stop the run. Could this possibly be the week where Todd Monken, Lamar Jackson, and they're tested to see whether or not they can, I guess, go to plan B if plan A is taken away from them, the run?
I'm glad you started with this question because I do think that this is the week. I mean, how many more weeks can you go where the rest of the league is looking at this and they're not like, you know what, let's just stack the box. If they're going to beat us, let's try and make them throw the ball 30 times a game. I mean, what they did last week was an absolute clinic in terms of the way that they want to play offense. That is peak Ravens football. If the Ravens could play that football every week on both sides of the ball, nobody will beat them. So, I mean, just dominant from start to finish. And if you watch in the fourth quarter last week, and really even in the end of the third, guys on the defensive side started to make a lot of business decisions in terms of whether they wanted to even tackle Derrick Henry. That's what he does. Wears teams down. And at 30 years old, a running back is not supposed to do that. So hats off to him and the way that he takes care of his body and just what that offensive line has been able to do. But defensively this week for the Bengals, how do you not come in and stack the box and say, you know what, we're not letting you run the ball, or at least we're going to do everything we can not to let you. If you're going to beat us, let's make your guys on the outside, Zay and Rashad, and even likely a Mark Andrews, win one-on-one. And if you beat us that way, that's fine. But by no means are we giving up 250 yards plus rushing. So I expect them to do that. It's going to be up to other guys this week to take on a bigger role and win those one-on-one battles.
And I think they're gonna, and one of the people I think has been playing exceptionally well, you know, in anonymity, is Pat Ricard. This is a combination now of Henry and Ricard, because Ricard's getting a lot of snaps. Whatever way they go, the entire defense moves that way. And we've seen it where, you know, then the Ravens go the other way. I think you're going to see a lot of that this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ricard is kind of the secret weapon. And when I mentioned a little bit earlier, you go back and you watch a little bit of that film at the end of the third and in the fourth quarter. When you have Ricard pulling out wide and he's leading the way in front of Derrick Henry, linebackers on Buffalo were literally slowing up as they got to him like, geez, do I want to take on Ricard? Do I want to take on Derrick Henry? Actually, I don't want to take on either one of them. That's a lot of weight between those two guys alone. And it is a lethal combination. And we talk about wearing you down. It is a real thing. When these guys and these other teams get into the third and the fourth quarter, they're beat. They can't handle it anymore. So I don't think every week, because I think this is going to be the one where the Bengals, again, they stack the box and they do everything they can to take away the run. I don't think every week is going to go like that. But when they are clicking on all cylinders and they're smooth like this, man, they are tough to beat with those two guys leading the way.
Well, grown-up Macaulay Culkin was just asked about playing the Ravens, and he said, I think I have to be perfect on Sunday for the reason that you guys were talking about. Joe Burrow was like, they limit your possessions with how much they control the clock. And he said, I've got to be perfect, which is a tough ask. Again, I go back to this, and we've been talking about it all day, Rick. Like, it's a 2.5-point spread where Cincinnati actually opened up as a very small favorite and it moved quickly to the Ravens. It's a divisional game. They're a hungry team. I just can't get past it on paper where I just feel like the Ravens are that much better than them.
Yeah, I think you look at the way that they handled Buffalo last week, and coming into that game, everybody thought Buffalo was the best team in the league. The way that Cincinnati has started off slow, and they notoriously start off slow every single season, and then somehow in the end they're back in it. But I don't know how you can look at these two teams and not expect the Ravens to win based off of what you've seen in just the first couple weeks of the season. Joe Burrow does have to be perfect, because when you're controlling the clock like that and your possessions are so limited, the margin for error is so small at that point. And Zach Orr, I mean, look, this defense is getting a lot of credit in a lot of different ways, which is great. Hats off to Zach Orr and what he's been able to do. And I was watching something on Good Morning Football today in terms of Orr and some of the packages that he's been able to sprinkle in. And he's got this bluff package where he's acting like he's going to rush four or five guys, but really they're dropping back into coverage and he's only rushing three. And here's the unique thing about it, is that they're getting pressure with just three guys. And when you can get pressure with just three guys, that allows more guys to drop back into coverage, and more help for your secondary. And also, too, when you have your front three just wreaking havoc on the quarterback, your secondary is not in coverage long. And that is the X factor on their defense right now. This defensive line, Kyle Van Noy, who I said is just ageless, doing what he's doing at 33 years old, that defensive line is making everything easier for that whole back end of that defense.
Rick Ritter joining us from WJZ-TV. All right, Rick, off the football for a second. Mets traveling to Philadelphia this weekend to take on your Phillies. Lots of excitement up there, I'm sure. Your thoughts on this series?
Man, you want to watch the best playoff atmosphere in all of sports. Turn on the TV tomorrow at 4 o'clock and watch Red October in the Bank. That place is going to be bananas. But here's the thing. Mets' worst-case scenario was coming in was us dealing with them, because the Mets will come in, and unfortunately we have some season ticket holders who like to make a little bit of money off those tickets, and they're going to sell. So I'm telling you right now, when you turn on that TV tomorrow, you're going to see about 20% of that stadium be blue, because the Mets fans will get in there. They travel well. But still, I think that this is a make-or-break year for the Phillies. They have all the experience. 2 years in a row, knocking on the door, one where they blew the World Series, one last year they blew the NLCS. If they're going to do it, this is the year, because they're not getting any younger. But enjoy the playoff atmosphere, because it is one of the coolest things that you will see at the Bank in Philadelphia for Red October.
And by the way, just real quick, adding to that, Ed, this will make you happy, because Ed's a Mets fan. Sorry about that. No, Kodai Senga might be on the roster, so this might be another big ad for them if he can pitch at all. I don't know, like, how long, if it's a, you know, 3 or 4 innings, or if he's fully stretched out, but that guy can be a difference maker.
And look, I'm going to be honest. I mean, just the Mets are playing great baseball right now, and you guys, all three of you, know it's getting hot at the right time. 2 years ago when the Phillies made the World Series, they won the wild card. They were horrible at the end of the year, but they just got hot at the right time. And the Mets scare me a little bit, because that camaraderie, they're together, they're playing great baseball, they can play small ball if they have to. This is worst-case scenario for the Phillies. Hopefully, they still get it done, but the Mets are playing great baseball. They're a good team.
Yes, I do hope the Mets get it done. God,
I'm surprised you're quiet, Ed. I thought you were going to pile it on a little bit.
No, I'm quietly confident.
Oh, that's a lot. I'm a Mets Jets fan.
You. I'm a realist.
Could you give us a score for Ravens Bengals?
I'm going to go low scoring for this one. I'm going to say 23-20 okay. Ravens. Division game. I think it's low scoring. AFC North. Let's hope they pull it out, though. Let's hope that they've turned the page and that this offense has a true identity now.
Hey, what you got going on this weekend and next week?
Purple pregame show on WJZ. We have the game, of course, on CBS, so the game will follow that. Purple Connection show Monday night. You'll be on there, Rob. And then get your tickets for Purple Playbook show with Isaiah Likely at Jimmy Sammy's Seafood in October. Likely and Mark Andrews, just them buying into this football where they don't need to be catching the ball 4 or 5 times a game. Those two are blocking their behinds off, and that's a big part of why this offense is having success.
There he is, Rick Ritter, WJZ-TV. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Guys, enjoy it. Go Phillies, too. Sorry.
Let's go Mets.
Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. And we'll be joined by John Rollo from Shogun Fights up next on The Fan. Let's go Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, man?
Good morning, fellas.
Are you going to Cincy?
No, man. I was going right up there. I'm like, well, can y'all, you know, stop me past Pittsburgh? You're like, no, man, that's out the way. And all that. I'm like, I get y'all gas money and all that. But so
you're trying to force them to go to a Steelers game?
Oh, man, it's going away.
But they don't want to go to that game.
It's going to be a good game. This is probably the best game of the weekend, man.
You don't ask your friends to go 6 hours out of the way.
It's four.
It's like three and a half if you
I don't need correction here. I'm on a roll.
Hey, no, man. But and what you got to plot with Jerry Jones landing this helicopter?
It's in the middle of practice. What an ass.
So what? Where are you supposed to land it at, man?
Somewhere else, not in the middle of practice. Nah, man, they're out there working. On a roof somewhere. Yeah, how could you as a fan even say that? That's like, oh, look who's him here. It's the most important guy on the team.
Look who's him here.
Yeah, whatever.
Because Jerry Jones the only
Shut up, Rob. I'm on a roll.
Man.
Yeah, you know? Come on, man. Who the hell sits here and defends the owner over everybody else?
Because I hate on my own every morning, man. Like, every morning is something. Because
he's terrible.
Respect him.
He's terrible.
Whatever, man.
He's one of the worst owners in sports. What has he done?
Hey,
what has he won?
Hey, Rashad, we're going to have a take two. Don't you ever, as a black man on radio, say, don't hate on my owner. Take two.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you ever.
Definitely edit that out, man.
That may be my shovel for next week.
In the don't big house. Ever.
And that's the encore for the day. Oh, my gosh. Rashawn calling in. He's been part of the encore several times, probably more than any other caller.
Oh, he was going to get the shovel yesterday. I mean, he's part of the show because he does so many things like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Good old Rashawn. Shogun fights over the weekend. It's going to happen tomorrow at the Hall at Live Casino. This is Shogun fight, I think, with 29. 29 joining us right now. He's the brainchild of it. He puts the all together. John Rollo. What's going on, John?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
Nothing much, man. Big fights tomorrow. Going to be at the Hall at Live Casino. This event, from my understanding, you're sold out?
Yes, sir. Like, if you go online right now, there's literally one ticket left. you know, but, like, these regional shows are a little unique because the fighters have tickets that they sell. So if anybody is interested in coming, please check the ticket link, or you can go to shogunfights.com because a few fighters will return some tickets. So I don't imagine it's going to be many, but there will be a few coming back. So if you are interested in coming, definitely check that out.
Some of my favorites are fighting, apparently. Maximenez is going to be on the Souser. You got Jimenez. You got a lot of really good, some of my fan favorites here.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Max, you know, heavyweight, three-time world champion, jiu-jitsu, and he's fighting a guy named John Ott. And John is a veteran of the game. If guys, WWE and MMA fans, Bobby Lashley, John Ott fought him, and they split decision, went to the distance. Brad Imes, who was runner-up in The Ultimate Fighter, he fought and beat Brad twice. He fought Jake Roschholt and went the distance, who was in the UFC and is a nice D1 wrestler. So this is going to be the biggest test of Max's MMA career. We also have another world champion jiu-jitsu named Muhammad Ali. He's out of Team Lloyd Irvin. And Muhammad is fighting for us. It's his first time on Shogun. And he's fighting Cameron Graham, who Max fought last show and went the distance, and Max won. So we're interested to see that. Sean Souser, who you mentioned, the Filipino Flash, he's fighting an undefeated opponent named Jacob Ashley coming out of Virginia. And another fan favorite here is Jerome Hands of Stone Featherstone, and he's defending his 155-pound belt against Chris Rollins, who's they call him Chris the Rocket Rollins. He's an MMA fighter, and he's a kickboxer. So I think it should be a fan-friendly fight because even though Jerome is a great wrestling background, he prefers to stand and bang it out. So I think people should be excited to see it.
John, I've said this numerous times, watching boxing, MMA live, any kind of contact sport or a striking sport like that, you never know when the thing's going to end. You never know. Seeing a knockout live, there's nothing quite like it. Or even a fight changing where somebody's been dominating and then all of a sudden somebody else catches them with an armbar or anything for that matter. That's why I think it's so important that people come out and see it. And again, I know there's not a ton of tickets left, but according to you, why should people come out and watch MMA and Shogun fights?
Well, first off, the show is very exciting. Like, if you've never been to a live MMA event, it's really something to see the show live. Another thing is that these guys are like this. These are guys you're going to see on the UFC. Like if anybody's been coming since we've been at live, Mansoor Abdul Malik is a 185, 205 fighter. And Mansoor was main evented on Dana White Contender Series. He won, and he was signed to a contract. So keep an eye out on that kid. He's a local kid, too. He's from Columbia. And, you know, then you have guys like Sadiq Youssef, Matt Semelsberger, Tucker Lutz, you know, just to name a few that have come through Shogun. And, you know, Miranda Maverick, a female fighter. Like, these are all people who fight on the regional level. And then they get the call up to fight on the UFC. And, you know, while we, you know, obviously we love to do our shows and we're successful, you know, I'm not trying to compete with Dana and the 800-pound gorilla. You know, we're looking to put on the best, most exciting regional shows we can and give our local people a platform to be able to go to the next level.
John, when will you know whether fighters are turning tickets back in? How can the public know that?
Well, I literally knew that, like, a kid from Virginia told me today he turned back, like, 17 tickets.
Okay.
So right now there would be probably, like, what it is you turn them into the casino and they get them, they'll release them back online for sale.
Thank you, Ray.
So I know that he did. Now, some of these guys sell them all. Some of them, you know, sell the majority and then put a few back out there. And, you know, at the casino, there's a lot of walk-ups. People will snatch them. But definitely just keep an eye out. And, again, ShogunFights.com has a ticket link, or you can go on Access, which is the ticketing agency. It's AXS, and you can just search, like, Access and Shogun Fights, and the link pops right up, and you'll be able to go in there and see what is available.
Rollo, thanks a lot, man. Good luck tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks,
John. See you, John. Now time for you to find out what we learned today. We can't get out here without the dad jokes, Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, I got some for you. I do want to tell people, come out and hang out with me on Sunday. We're doing a fundraiser for Mo Gava at Key Brewing. So I posted it all over social media. You guys can check it out there. Hope to see you out there. Now, what do you call a Frenchman wearing sandals? I do like this one. Philippe Philop.
Wow.
It's just so stupid. Why won't cannibals cook instant noodles? They prefer raw men. Why must you wear glasses when doing math? Because it helps, Ed, with division. Oh, man. What is a fruit that magically shows up? A pear. My grandpa said he couldn't call me because of a ransomware attack, but Gramps doesn't own a computer and still uses an old school flip phone, so I asked him what happened. He told me some guy grabbed my phone and ransomware. It all happened so fast. And lastly, I wanted to find the one we had yesterday. I'm starting a group for people with premature ejaculation. Please let me know if you can't come.
Well, that's a doozy to get out on a Friday.
Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful weekend.